Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
All right, everyone, you need to stop what you're doing right now and listen. Stop what you're doing. Listen, Dr. Bernard Hodgers is in the house from the Critter Pictures, and we're just going to have some fun. And how are you, my friend, first and foremost?
Hey, life is good here, man. I'm in beautiful, sunny Georgia. Life is good.
How are those peaches?
Peaches are good. And the beautiful thing, here's the funny thing people don't know about peaches. We have to have a certain amount of cold days, though. You know, those peaches, we have to have a certain amount of days where the peaches are under 40 degrees, and sometimes that affect the peach crop. We didn't have that problem this year. We're gonna have a bumper crop of peaches because it has been cold, but fortunately it's warmed up.
Well, I'm ready for you to send me some peach cobbler.
Fair enough. Peaches. I know the best place for sure.
I'm ready. Well, listen, I mean, your personality, your enthusiasm, it's just infectious. It really is. And, you know, we love what you're doing on TV with the show Critter Fixers. It's so much fun to watch. Share with us a little bit about what that experience is like with you.
It's been an incredible experience. You know, here I am, a country kid, growing up in vet med, not looking like the traditional vet student. All of a sudden, I get a call from some guy from New York. He says, "Doc, you ever thought about having a TV show?" And I did what anybody else would do. I ignored it because I thought it was a prank. You know, I was like, all right. Finally, he caught up with me, and we Skyped for a little while. And then, you know, I had to explain to my partner, like, bro, we may be doing a TV show. And he looked at me like, Hodges, is this another one of your schemes? I'm like, nah, man, I'm just having fun with this. So, you know, we did what they call a sizzle reel for a week. Mm-hmm. They came down and shot the show. And, you know, 2 months later, Nat Geo was selling us to find an agent. Been an incredible experience. You know, going out and doing things like Entertainment Tonight and meeting all these different people is really, really, really cool. What's a day like? A day typically, you know, is we get in and I'm hiding from the guy who mics me up because I'm trying to get my day started and try to hide, but they're looking for me. So I mic'd up. And then I go about my day of doing surgeries and cameras in my face. So that's kind of the gist.
You know, I was going to say that because we as veterinarians, you know, we're in the zone. You get into the Correct. Zone when you're practicing or whatever. Like I open up that door and get into the hospital like, okay, I'm on. And then to even turn it on a little extra, knowing that you have a camera crew on, you're mic'd up, and surgery is surgery. You know, things happen.
It does. It does. Yeah. You got to be on. You know, it's one thing about it. It is really intense because, I mean, you know, sometimes we'll have, they call it ear week, which I had no idea what this thing is, but you stick it in the ear and there's a producer sometimes talking to you. Nothing is staged, but, you know, they may ask you a question. And sometimes, and I'm sure they bleep mine out, sometimes I'm in the heat of the moment. This animal is crashing and it is about to die. And they may be asking me what is going on.
Right.
And that part, I'd be like, look, you know, this is, you know, and they know, they can read my body language now, you know, because it's serious. I mean, I'm, you know, so nudging the stage, and just like every other veterinarian who works his butt off has good outcomes and bad outcomes. Sometimes I have bad outcomes and that's no fun, especially when there's a camera in your face.
Right. Yes. That's gotta be like extra stressful. I'm sure
it is
really what it is. But at the same token, look what you're doing. I mean, how many seasons have you been into now?
This is third, correct.
Third season, and you have a huge following, a loyal fan base. I mean, you're educating pet parents and, you know, people that are interested in becoming veterinarians. So think of all the good that you and your partner are doing with this.
The platform definitely great. The platform has been a really good thing. And to have these kids and people who are really interested in veterinarians, especially, you know, sometimes now we're kind of talking a little bit more about diversity.
Yes.
I mean, you get these kids who've never seen a black veterinarian in their lives. They're like, I could do it, you know? So, right. So you know, that is definitely been a good thing.
Do you feel that there is like added pressure because of like being a minority and being on TV? Yeah.
Definitely. It's definitely added pressure. You know, I mean, but I feel like I was built for this. You know, I mean, I think God, and I'll tell you, you know, we were talking earlier before the show, and we've talked about, you know, I've read your great book, you read my book, and talked about, when I wrote that book, I was sailing into the sunset. I mean, I had achieved a thriving practice. The practice was going well. I had real estate. I had other interests. You know, I'd never been to Europe, and I still haven't, thanks to this show, but I want to go to Europe and just backpack and goof off. But my plan was kind of to fade slowly out of it. But it was like, God, it was like, let me give you something to make you stay. And it couldn't have been money. I wanted to stay for money. I wanted to stay for another practice. It was this show that was so different and gave me a platform to be that person who's a minority and show other minorities that you can do it. So, so it's like, it's almost like, so yes, I mean, so I definitely don't take it lightly. I'm actually, you know, and I'm trying to use the gifts or the outlines and the people I've met to help other kids. Like, you know, through my nonprofit now, I'm going to do a vet for a day program. All the big sponsors, they hop right on. But my thing is not for me. It's more to say, okay, you can be a part of it for a day. You come down, we'll feed you, we'll show you what it takes to get in vet school, and we'll go to the clinic, we'll do some surgeries, we'll show you and expose you. Because so many kids aren't exposed. They know they love animals, but they have no clue how to do it. They have no clue they need to take physics or chemistry or math. And then by the time they get to that point, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to catch these kids before it's too late and use this platform to show them that, you know, they can be great.
It really is. It's so nice because sometimes it's too late where they're already like either emotionally or financially invested in this.
Right.
And if they knew way back when what was going to be involved, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I had to take organic chemistry, biochemistry. Right. So having, you know, you along the way to spearhead them and provide them that visibility is fantastic. Because I think there's this perception that like, oh, it's so amazing what you do with playing in puppies and kittens, but there's science, there's surgery.
Yeah,
it's highs and lows, you know?
Yeah, highs and lows, for sure.
Yeah. So that's, and you're a practice owner. So what is that like too? What is that experience like?
And, you know, I definitely wouldn't trade that for the world. I love being a business owner, you know, and I talked to University of Georgia last night, Tuskegee the night before. I think I talked to Ohio State, Washington State, all these schools that they have these business branches of it. And they called me and we talked. And the number one thing I say, they asked me, what do I wish vet school had taught me? Business, you know, because I had to learn business. I had to learn that, you know, I have a service that I have to get paid for. Yes, I give some services away. And as a business owner, you can. But at the end of the day, I got to feed all these people. Also, people skills. Being an employer, I mean, I think maybe we have 40, 50 employees. And I kind of, my management style is a little bit different. You know, I mean, I have a lot of employees who've been with me over 10 years, few over 20. Since I started, and they seem to stay. I can't really get rid of them, but I got a philosophy here. And I read this. It was the New York Yankees manager. He had Babe Ruth, who was bigger than life figure. He hit home runs. He did all this stuff. But he also liked to stay out at night and do all kinds of stuff. And then he had Mickey Mantle. He had all these other players. So his philosophy was, I'll take a little bit from a 300 batter, but I ain't going to take a damn thing from a 200 batter. And so that's kind of my management philosophy. You know, sometimes I see stuff and act like I don't see it with my 300 batters. And we're all human. We all kind of see how can we toe the line. So my management style is, I'm not fire and brimstone. I'm more, okay, if you're a 300 batter, we'll get through it. And that's right. Kind of what my management philosophy. So business has been really good.
That's excellent. And, you know, I know you can't see him to our listeners right now, but he's sitting behind a beautiful lake and his background, everyone, is in fisheries and marine biology. So I have to ask you about your interest in fish and how did that come about?
So I'm a country boy. All right. So I'm a country boy here. I'm a country boy in Georgia. So I grew up near rivers and lakes and streams. So I always had an interest in fish. I would go down there and deal with turtles. One of my first pets was a turtle. Then I made a little turtle farm. And so I like the aquatic things. So I went and I started fisheries and I got a major in fisheries biology. And it turned out to really be a blessing. And I'll tell you, because I love fishing. My daily day, life now, I'm able to work with fish. I think last season we did some ick thing. This season you'll see some really cool stuff with some fish as well. But the thing is, I was always that, and I don't know, I was always a marginal student. Mm-hmm. No matter what I tried to do, I would only make B's and C's. Never the A. So as you know, vet school, you need an A. But going back to my fisheries biology background, so I got a major in fisheries. I went over to Missouri. I went to Nova Scotia and studied lobster in the Bay of Fundy. I went and did some research with trout in the Shenandoah Valley. But here's the beautiful thing. When I was 20, I came up with a research project along with a couple of my professors. It was in Lake Fuwa, Nepal. And here's this country kid from Fort Valley. I didn't know what the heck Nepal was. So the Agency for International Development gave us money. So what we did was, if you know the Nepalese or the Indian people in India, that Hindu religion, they typically don't eat beef, they don't eat pork, they don't eat, and they need a cheap source of protein. They have rice, but they needed a cheap source of protein. And what cheaper source of protein is there than carp? So what we did was, you have the monsoons and you had to figure out where to suspend these cages. So carp eat phytoplankton, and phytoplankton is free. All you gotta do is get the sun to that part of the phytoplankton, let that area grow, and know where to suspend the cages. So we did that for several summers and figured out exactly where to put the cages. That project is still feeding the village. And here I am, a substandard vet student who, lucky enough to get an interview, got an interview. And even though I didn't have a 3.7, nobody had fed a village in Nepal. So here I am today, a veterinarian. So fisheries pretty much got me where I need to be.
Yeah, that's incredible. That really is. I mean, this is what we love about veterinary medicine. You and I talk about this often, is like, there's just so many different avenues to pursue. I mean, I guess you must get asked this, because I get asked this too. Like, what do you love most about veterinary medicine?
For me, it's just the different aspects and to deal with people. I mean, you know, the kids, they often say, well, doc, I love animals. I'm not so big on people. And I get it. And people can sometimes have some angles that we don't necessarily desire, but you got to think about it, right? And yeah. I tell them, I've never seen a gerbil bring a come in by itself. And if it did, I was trying to catch it on a rat trap or something. Right. I've never seen a pig or a horse or a dog come in by themselves. They have to have an owner. Yeah. So with that, you have to learn to because one, you're going to sell your skills, meaning if you're going to fix this animal, that's all that person cares about. So you got to be able to talk to them. You got to be able to get to know them. And here in the South, right, I'll tell you, so starting to practice 20 years ago in the Deep South, it was a little tough. You know, women typically come in, and typically women give you a chance. I'll be honest. Sometimes the gentlemen would look at us like, okay, well, we got these black guys, to see if they know what they're doing. So you find a common ground. And this is why I say about people, like, I'll be honest. I like football, I like basketball. Now, I'm not a big NASCAR fan. I don't, you know, it's okay, but I've got other stuff to do. And I particularly like watching a car go around the track. But what I noticed was all these guys would come in with these NASCAR hats. They would have car 20, a car 24, a car 3, or you know what I'm saying? So right. I learned the car numbers. I learned who Earnhardt was. I learned these cars. And I would watch on Sundays at least who won. Yeah. Or in the paper and see who won. So when this guy comes in and he talks about this, you know, I say, okay, you a car such and such guy. I like car 3. And we have a discussion. We have a common denominator. Yeah. So life is about just finding that common denominator, something to break the ice. And that's the beautiful thing about veterinary medicine. You're gonna be in a little bit of cubicle with a lot of people every day. So I get to interact. I get to learn things. I get to talk about things. I get to ask questions about things that I have no clue. So I use that exam room for not a place to cure animals, but also to help mankind too. And Cameron, exchange yeah. ideas.
Hey, you're part of the family too. I mean, you're yes, going
you're the part whole of the family. Yes.
You know, I always check in. How did the soccer tournament go? How did they make out with their school? How was graduation? I mean, those little things help create the experience that they're looking for. You know, it's not just like a poke and go kind of a thing. They want to learn, but they also want to get to know you. They're going to ask you questions about
your family, and that's the beautiful thing. And that's what I love about Vetman, man. Just the friends I've met. You know, I mean, the people I've met. You know, whether it's being a pallbearer in a funeral. You know, unfortunately, I've lost a few clients during COVID, and you know, and here's this guy. He calls me. He probably is in his 50s. He calls me, and it's the next morning. I know as he called me, he's crying. He said, "Doc, I know how much you cared about my wife. I want to let you know she passed." And here he's like, "You're one of the first people I call." I'm sad, but it also made me think, like, man, I am really part of these people's family. And that's the beautiful thing about family.
Yes.
I mean, we are part of their family.
We are part of the family. I love that. I love that. So I watch your show, and these animals that come on are incredible. Like, I just can't get over this. So, like, do you happen to have like a favorite animal that you're like, oh yeah, I love this? Like, is there one that really resonates with you?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, I see all kinds of animals on.
Yes.
You know, on my phone call here, it was a Euromastix with a broken leg, and I love the sugar gliders. But man, you know, I like cows. Mm-hmm. I have treated camels. I have treated this season we'll have a spotter. You know, and we treat a spotter. But man, it's something about that maternal instinct of cows. Yeah. I just love watching mama cows interaction with their babies. They are the most amazing mothers ever. I just like watching cows.
They are. Yeah. They're incredible. All different types of cows too.
Right. They're just amazing. I just love that maternal instinct.
They really are. I mean, you've seen so many animals. So this is just a silly fun question, but if you had to be an animal, which one would you want to be?
What would I want to be? I think maybe a bald eagle.
Oh.
I think they're super majestic. They're strong. And I was watching a TV program the other day this coyote, he kills some prey. And, you know, there's always the pecking order where you see different animals take the food away, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm watching this coyote with what looks like a steak in his mouth, right? This bald eagle comes to this coyote and grabs the steak and take off. I never would have thought it, right. Right. I never would have thought about it. I've never seen it. Jeez. I thought it was the most amazing thing that a bald eagle was big enough, strong enough, and brave enough to take this coyote's food out of his mouth. Now, it wasn't on the ground. It was in his mouth.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So I think
that is something crazy. It's amazing. You know, so you see so many parts, you see so many different animals.
Right.
You have a great team that's in play there too. You know, is there anything strange that you've seen that you're like, I don't know if I can see this. I don't know. Is there one of the strangest animals? Yeah.
I think an alligator.
Oh my gosh.
So we had, and here's a spoiler alert for this season, but we have an alligator on there this season. And this lady, Nicole, calls us out, and we're looking at some other animals. But what it is, here in Georgia now, there's a big film industry. So oftentimes she lives near Covington, Georgia, which is near Atlanta. And what they do is they use some of these animals for the shows. And so she had an alligator, and it had a hurt leg. I mean, really a fractured leg. So first of all, I'm thinking, like, how in the heck am I going to fix a fractured leg in the alligator? And all of us have seen knuckling in a dog, and we kind of think, okay, this is neurological, or a knuckling in an animal. You're like, okay, this is neurological. But I mean, I'm looking at knuckling in the alligator. Now, I don't know. I'm like, look, I don't know what's, I don't know if he has neurological damage. So I get an x-ray, and sure enough, the bone is broken, but it's starting to heal. So you have callus there. So I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, what am I going to do if this alligator has, so of course she's like, well, I can keep it. I said, listen, first of all, I wouldn't even know how to put an alligator under anesthesia. I said,
right. Yeah.
I think it would be probably unethical because, you know, there's alligator, he need to be out eating and doing whatever. So I bandaged it up. I had her do therapy with this alligator. Of course, we were wrapped the mouth with tape. And sure enough, this alligator does okay. And so And so when I come back and see it, maybe a month later, I'm like, okay, let me see what's going on. So the animal is placing now, and it's walking and doing well. But my thought was, I don't really know how to do a neural test.
Right. What do you do? Superficial and deep pain?
Exactly. That was my point. I was like, well, look, now this I was like, I don't know what to do. This is an alligator. I'm not real sure. So, but fortunately, Mother Nature, it did fine, and the alligator is doing fine. So, yeah,
that was different. Tell us about the upcoming season. Where can we tune in? All that fun stuff. Where we can find more information about you, about Critter Fixers.
All right, Critter Fixer, right here in Central Georgia. Obviously, you can find us at Critter Fixer, I guess Critter Fixer Veterinary Hospital.com. Mm-hmm. There are two locations. My partner and I, we were college friends, and we met, we met in college about 30 years ago. Great guy, can't say enough about him. We kind of started the clinic on a wing and a prayer. I mean, he wanted to be.
You got
to
name drop him. Who is he?
It's Dr. Terrence Ferguson. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Dr. Terrence Ferguson, my partner. So, when we initially started, he wanted to name the place. We started in Byron, Georgia. He wanted to name it Veterinary Associates of Byron. And I slept it on it for a night. I said, bro, we ain't associates of nothing. We ain't got no money. We don't have anything. Do we look like we could be associates of anything? He's like, what you think? I say, why don't we be the Critter Fix? He's like, that's country. I'm like, we country.
Yeah.
So that's how Critter Fixes. So that's how the name Critter Fixer, you know, started in Middle Georgia, and it went across the world. But so the show kind of follows us around, and you can find that show on National Geographic Wild, and we will be airing the next season May 22nd. May 22nd, you'll get to see us run around. And it's just been an amazing experience. And also, you know, I was looking at something the other day, and I see what Disney said. Now they have 100 million subscribers to Disney Plus. You can find us on Disney Plus. So I guess that answers my question of why in international, why these people from France or Sweden and Japan or email. I mean, I don't understand the email. I'm like, well, what? You know, I have to translate it. But it's been an amazing experience to have fans from around the world.
That's fantastic. We love watching you, and we're so proud of you, and congratulations for all the success. You guys are hilarious, and it's such a great ride to watch. So thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, Fab.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dr. Bernard Hodges is in the house. Bernard is in the house.
Hey!
Oh, hey! 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 Hey. Thank you so much for your time. This is fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to our listeners, as always. I hope you had a great time. Please stay safe out there. Thank you for taking care of all of our pets, and stay possum. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals, and always stay possum.